If you'd like to follow along, the scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And on the Pew Bible, that's on page 966. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Good morning. Please have your Bibles open to where Jim just read for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the last paragraph of chapter 4 and the beginning part of chapter 5. As we, I know it seems like maybe the new year was a week ago, it sort of was, but this is us kicking off the new year for Morristown Church of Christ with a new theme, a series of lessons and goals and initiatives set before us. For this coming year, we've outlined some of those in the newsletter over the past couple of weeks, and I encourage you to look at those again. But I want to begin by asking you probably a very simple question, a question we just take for granted. What does it mean to live? What does it mean to have life? Well, if you look for a dictionary definition, if you look in Webster's, it's going to first tell you that to have life, to live, means to have breath coming in and out of your lungs, and blood pumping in and out of your heart. But all of us here know that there is so much more to life than breath and blood. At least, we certainly want there to be more to life than just breath and blood. God has given us our physical lives, and for that we are to be thankful. But God wants us to do more than just breathe. God wants more for us than just our hearts to beat, our physical hearts to beat. He has given us also a spirit. He's given us spiritual lives. And He wants us to find our real, our most real sense of life through Him and through His Spirit. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I have come that we might have life." Jesus came that we would have life and that we will have it more abundantly. More than just the here and now. More than just the breath and blood. More than just the stuff you can temporarily hold in your hand. God, through His Son, wants for us a far more lasting and fulfilling and meaningful life. And so, for 2018, the elders have put before us this theme, and you'll see it on the next screen. The Spirit gives life. Actually, if you turn back in your Bible just one chapter to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, you will see that phrase there. I'm not going to preach that passage this morning. We will look at that passage as we go later into this year. Actually, the idea of the Spirit giving life doesn't just occur in 2 Corinthians 3, 6. It occurs really in a handful of places. Jesus Himself would say something very much like this in John chapter 6. And Paul, in a lot of his writings, will reinforce the fact that the real life that God wants us to have, the most meaningful life that God wants us to have, it comes from and through His Spirit. But if we're going to find that meaning of life, if we're going to experience the true fulfillment that God has designed for us, we're going to have to change some ways that we think, some ways in which we see, and maybe even some ways in which we live. We're going to have to think on a different plane. We're going to have to maybe be born again. We're going to have to realize that the life that God ultimately wants us to experience, you're not going to be able to find it watching television. You're not going to find it in the supermarket. You're not going to find it by listening to the wisdom of the world. You're going to have to come to Him through His Son. As Tom talked about in his Bible class this morning, you're going to have to come to Him through His Word, and we're going to talk about that as well as we get into the series to find life's ultimate meaning. And then we're going to have to live it as well. Not just let it to be something we talk about and read about, but something that actually changes and transforms our lives. This morning I want to examine, based on what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5, some ways in which we're going to have to change our sense of life, our meaning of life. If we're going to find, if we're going to find this life, we have to be willing to submit to some changes ourselves, being transformed more into who God is, because after all, Jesus told us that God is Spirit. And if we're going to find the life that is found in Him, well, we're going to have to look beyond the things that define life for us in the here and now. The first thing that's going to have to change for us that we find in this passage, I won't read it again. Jim read it for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. The first thing that's going to have to change for us is that this life, this most real life, changes our sense of time. Real life, and by the way, I find myself saying this sometimes. I think we've probably all been guilty of this. Sometimes we talk about this life as real life. You read Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. He says, there is a life that is even more real than this stuff right here. In verse 18 in particular, the last thing that he says is, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I want to talk about our sense of time for a moment. You know, I sometimes still like to think of myself as relatively young, and maybe in some of your eyes I am, but that idea of time and age, it keeps changing, doesn't it? That definition, that sense of time, what is young, what is old, what is new versus what is archaic, that's different for each one of us. But here's what happens. Time just keeps to slip through our hands, doesn't it? I told somebody recently that I've learned that holding on to time is like trying to hold on to water or hold on to sand. We've all done that before. I like the real life illustration of an hourglass. You see the passage of time, and once that sand falls, guess what you can't do? You can't put it back up on that top end, can you? And that's the way life works. And as we get older, we say things like, time just, it's flying by. Things are speeding up. The minutes, the hours, the days, the years, they go by faster and faster. And here we are, the beginning of 2018. And for many of us in here, including myself, it seems like we were talking about Y2K about 2 or 3 years ago. That was 18 years ago. And there's stuff even more in the more distant past that we think, was that really that long ago? And what's that tell you? Time is just slipping through your hands. You can't hold on to it. In some ways, we can make ourselves a slave to time. And that can be destructive for our lives spiritually. And then some of us try to go into denial about time. We try to defeat time. We try to do things to make it feel like we have more control. Or at least, hey, if time is going to fly by and if this life is going to go by in an instant and be so short, then I need to live for the here and now. Mankind has always been short-sighted. But it seems to me, and maybe this is part of getting older as well, but it seems to me that we are even more short-sighted than we've ever been. We live in a world that lives for instant gratification. If I can't feel it right now, if I can't have it right now, then it's not worth having. If this life is going to go by so quickly and if it's relatively short, then I need to do whatever it is I want to do it right now, not worry about the consequences, not worry about the repercussions, because, hey, this is all there is, just here and now, and it's all slipping through my hands. And so we make all kinds of incredibly destructive decisions because time, it's slipping through our hands. We enter into relationships that are unhealthy because we think, well, I've got it for right now. I don't know what's down the road, so I might as well do this right now. Financially, we spend money we don't have today saying, I'll be able to pay it off tomorrow or 6 months from now or next year. You know, that commercial, they say they've got a New Year's deal for me. I don't have to pay for this thing till 2025. 2025 comes around faster than we think. And we get ourselves, whether it's in Washington or in our own wallets, we get ourselves into all kinds of financial trouble because we're living for the here and now. And we're not thinking about the long-term consequences. We quit stuff because right now it doesn't feel good. Right now it's not fun. Right now I'm not getting what I think I need to be getting out of this. So I'm just going to give up and quit. And we don't realize that by sticking with something, having a sense of endurance and patience and long-suffering, whether it's with other human beings, whether it's with a job, whether it's with some other commitment we've made in life, we think, well, right now it's just not paying off. And we don't see that there could be long-term gains that far exceed what we're living for in the here and now. And because of this sense of short-sightedness, this sense of that which is transient, that's fleeting and passing, we never appreciate a sense of the eternal. We've gotten to a point where we can't even appreciate a sense of the long term in this life. And if we can't appreciate the long term in this life, we certainly won't appreciate the sense of things eternal. A whole new way of thinking about time. In fact, I've tried to remind myself this. I've tried to help us think in this term, but it's not, eternity is not even a sense of time. It's a sense of timelessness. And in that way, it's beautiful to consider because in eternity, guess what? Time will never slip through your hands anymore. You won't be a slave to time anymore. But you've got to be willing, I've got to be willing to begin to think in a sense of the eternal and not in a sense of the short term, the immediate, the instant gratification that the world is constantly preaching to me. And yeah, it's easy to look at everybody else who lives that way and say, well, if that's the way they're going to be, I might as well follow along. Listen, the more you live for the here and now, you might think you're running away or defeating time slipping through your hands, but guess what? Life is going to slip through your hands even more when you live in the here and now. Because you and I will make so many destructive, sinful choices because we fail to see things from an eternal perspective. And so if I want to find real life, I've got to look beyond the clock that defines my day, even the years that define my life, and think about things in terms of the eternal. The next thing that real life changes for me is my sense of self. I've already made reference to this, and a few of you all made jokes to me this morning. In fairness, I didn't shave this week, and one or two people said, there's some snow in that beard. You know what else time isn't fair to or time isn't on the side of? That's my body and your body. Not only is time slipping away from us, but our bodies are in a constant sense of breaking down. Well, that's really encouraging to hear on a Sunday morning, isn't it? But you know what? You read 2 Corinthians 5 verses 1 through 4, and that's what the Holy Spirit says through Paul. He continues with this thought. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Paul here, he talks about his earthly body as a dwelling place, as a home. He says, but here's the thing about this home. Just like the houses that we might live in, it's going to break down. The forces of nature are working against it. He says, you know, I have a house in which I currently dwell. That's this body. But it's burdened, it's breaking down, it experiences the pains and frustrations and hurts and anguishes and the disease and eventually the death of this life. But there is another home for me. And that's the one that I look forward to. That's the one that I want to live for. That is who I am. What is our sense of self? What is your sense of self today? You know, I think sometimes about how often we look at ourselves in today's world. We've got mirrors everywhere. We've got all kinds of things that say that here, you know, here's what you look like. And sometimes that might be beneficial to your health, but I've come to believe that a lot of times we need to look at ourselves and think about our outward selves a whole lot less. Caroline remarked, we watched Sunday night. To me, it's one of the biggest wastes of time, but I always end up watching it. When the ball drops in New York City, you're like, oh, there's all these people. Yay, happy for them. I mean, you know, it's nice to ring in the new year. But she remarked, she said, have you noticed how many people at the stroke of midnight, instead of enjoying the sights and the sounds and the scenes, you know what they're doing in today's world? Taking that selfie. It's like, enjoy the moment. But our sense of self, we are a selfie world, aren't we? And we look too much at our outward selves and think, this is who I am. Instead of thinking about the fact that this thing right here, it's a very short-term dwelling place. And it comes with no promises of tomorrow. But who I am, who Blaine Kelly is, should not be defined by my flesh and blood. You know, sometimes I want to say to our young people right now, our children and our teenagers, don't let the world tell you that who you are is based on what you look like. That your sense of self is defined by what the world says is good looking or attractive or strong or I'll even say smart. But you know what, adults? We need to be reminded of that message as well. Too often, we get caught up in the physical things and we think that gives us a sense of identity. And it can give you a sense of identity. But that sense of identity, it is fleeting. It's shallow. It might be found in your obituary. You know, I made a joke to somebody recently. I said, you know, a good business a person could get into is writing really nice obituaries for people. You know, just write the most beautiful, glowing thing. You know, this person was incredibly successful and everybody liked him and died with a big bank account. You know, most of the things, I'm not putting down obituaries, most of the things, though, that are found in people's obituaries, that's not who they are. Where you worked, you know what, that place of employment, it might outlast you. Some of you all know you get to outlast some of your places of employment. But your place of employment, it might outlast you, but it's just a thing too. It's fleeting. It's going away. But who were you in the workplace? What kind of person were you? How did you conduct yourself? What impact did you make on people's lives? Even the stuff that might be most meaningful to us, our name, our family members, what kind of family we came from, who our ancestors were, or who those who we leave behind, who are they? That's important, but you know what's more important? What kind of husband, wife, father, mother, neighbor, friend, what kind of person were you? You see, the things that really matter the most in our lives, they're often not found in an obituary. They're not found in how big your bank account is. Jesus himself would say in Matthew chapter 6, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You know what happens to treasures on earth? They rust. They disappear. The stock market collapses. Somebody steals something from you. If that gives you a sense of identity, that's fleeting. He says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. The way Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is ultimately, what's your home? By the way, here he is talking about a heavenly dwelling, but he's not just talking about heaven as your home. He says, who is Blaine Kelly? Who is Becky Hawkins? Who is Jerry Johnson? Yeah, we might need a picture in this life to say, oh yeah, that picture, that looks like Becky, or that picture, that looks like Jerry. But once you die, that picture, it returns to the dust. And then who we are, we receive a new dwelling. And Paul says, that has become my home. That has become my sense of identity. And because of that, I live a much different life than just for the here and now. Just looking impressive to people in the eyes of the world. Not building a resume that says what I am, but building a spirit of who I am. And so Paul really concludes this passage in verse 10 with this thought. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Paul says, yeah, what you do in your body counts, but when you stand before Jesus, you know what won't matter to him? How famous you were, how good-looking people thought you were, how rich you became, how impressed you were with yourself. Paul says, who you are and what you did in the body, you'll get the opportunity to stand before Jesus. And we all know that he will ask us, who have you been? What have you done? Not in terms of the world standards, but in terms of who I am. And so if you want the real life that he offers, you have to change your sense of self. And then finally, as this passage continues, we find that real life also changes our sense of sight. Paul continues in verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. And then Paul says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I believe one of the greatest blessings in this life is the ability to see. And I do sympathize for people who either were born blind or have lost eyesight through some means throughout the course of their life. But you know what I've also found? Our sight can become one of the greatest hindrances to our spiritual health. Paul pretty much says that here. You start walking by sight, and you don't do so by faith, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to find yourself engulfed in sin. Some of the things that we've just talked about, our sense of time and our sense of self, if you do that by sight, if you live those things by sight and not by faith, you will find yourself down the devil's path. But when we come to the Lord, and we say, I know that the way I've done things and the way I've seen things, it's just not right. It's not been good for me. It's not been good for people around me. And I want to have new eyes. You know, sometimes Jesus would say, I think Tom referenced this in his Bible class this morning. Jesus one time would tell his disciples, lift up your eyes. Sometimes we need to close our eyes, don't we, to see that which is most important. In fact, if you go back again to verse 18, Paul will say, the things that are seen are transient. Sometimes I need to close my eyes because the things that are unseen, whether you have perfect vision or you are completely blind, all of us can see the things that matter most because you don't see them with your eyes. You see them with your heart and with your spirit. You know, it's interesting. We often quote Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. That's the conversation Jesus has with the apostles. He says, you know, all these people around here are saying different things about me. I want to ask you, who do you say that I am? And it's Peter. Yeah, Peter sometimes spoke too quickly and said some foolish things. But sometimes Peter, when he was quick to the draw, said the perfectly right thing. And in Matthew 16, he says the perfectly right thing. Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus blesses Peter for that. But here's what Jesus says that we often overlook. He says, "Peter, what you have just declared was not revealed to you by flesh and blood." What's Jesus saying there? Peter was walking around Galilee and Judea, watching Jesus with these two eyes. And he saw the same things that many other people saw. You think about the Pharisees and the scribes. You think about all of the people who were constantly opposed to Jesus. Many of them saw the same things that Peter did, but yet what did they conclude? They conclude this man could not be the Messiah. In fact, he might be from the devil himself. And so Jesus says, "Peter, you're blessed because what you have said here, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. It wasn't your eyeballs that taught you that. Yeah, it took in information, but something took place differently in your heart, in your spirit. You saw things that are unseen, and you now know that I'm the Savior of the world. And you are blessed for that." And the things that the Lord offers to us that are of greatest value, you will never be able to hold in your hand. You will never be able to see with your eyes. Jesus would also say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart." You know what you get to see there? "For you shall see God." You want to see God? Be pure in your heart. Be pure in your spirit. You can't hold that. You can't buy that on Amazon.com. But you get to see things that are unseen. And you get to see the Father Himself. Jesus would also say in John chapter 3, verse 3, speaking to Nicodemus, He says, "Unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Do we want to see the beauty of God and His kingdom and all of its glory? We've got to change which eyes we see with. Not the physical eyes that we're blessed with, but the eyes of our heart and our spirit to see real life, the real life that God offers us through His Son and through His Spirit. What is the meaning of your life today? I hope that you're here because you don't think that life is just about flesh and blood and a sense of the temporary and the things that the world often wants us to focus on. But you see the things, you want to see the things that are unseen, the things that are eternal, the things that are lasting, because when it comes down to it, the things that are eternal, those are the only things that are going to matter. And everything else will be left behind. This morning, do you want a new life, a new sense of life, a new lease on life, a new definition to your life? We encourage you to do what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Be born again so that you can see God and see His kingdom. Jesus would also tell Nicodemus that we are born again by being born of water and of spirit. This morning, if you need to give all that you are, your life, your soul, your spirit, back to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent His Son to this earth not to condemn us, but to save us. And He's asked us to come to that gift, to come into His grace, by repenting, turning away of our sins of this flesh, confessing Christ as our Lord and Savior, putting Christ on in baptism, and from that moment, living with a new sense of life. Not being held by the temporary, but looking to the things that are eternal. For those of us who are Christians, let us live with the real life. Let us show that life to others, and let us find that life in God and His Son and His Spirit. If you need him in any way this morning, please come forward while we stand and sing.